As Bean scanned the inventory list, he was really searching primarily for something, anything, that might be made into a weapon the Ender or some of his army could carry to protect him from physical attack by Bonzo. But there was nothing that would be both concealable from the teachers and powerful enough to give smaller kids sufficient leverage over larger ones. It was a disappointment, but he'd find other ways to neutralize the threat. And now, as long as he was scanning the inventory, was there anything that he might be able to use in the battle room? Cleaning supplies weren't very promising, nor would the hardware stocks make much sense in the battle room. What, throw a handful of screws? The safety equipment, though. "What's a deadline?" asked Bean. Dymac answered. "Very fine, strong cord that's used to secure maintenance and construction workers when they're working outside the station."
"How long?"
"With links, we can assemble several kilometers of secure deadline," said Dymac. "But each coil unspools to 100 meters.
"I want to see it."
They took him into parts of the station that children never went to. The decor was far more utilitarian here. Screws and rivets were visible in the plates on the walls. The intake ducts were visible instead of being hidden inside the ceiling. There were no friendly light stripes for a child to touch and get directions to his barracks. All the palm pads were too high for a child to comfortably use, and the staff they passed saw Bean and then looked at Dap and Dymac as if they were crazy. The coil was amazingly small. Bean hefted it. Light, too. He unspooled a few decameters of it. It was almost invisible.
"This will hold?"
"The weight of 2 adults, said Dymac.
"It's so fine. Will it cut?"
"Rounded so smoothly it can't cut anything. Wouldn't do us any good if it went slicing through things. Like spacesuits."
"Can I cut it into short lengths?"
"With a blowtorch," said Dymac.
"This is what I want."
"Just one?" asked Dap, rather sarcastically.
"And a blowtorch," said Bean.
"Denied," said Dymac.
"I was joking," said Bean.
He walked out of the supply room and started jogging down the corridor, retracing the route they had just taken. They jogged after him. "Slow down," Dymac called out.
"Keep up," Bean answered. "I've got a tune waiting for me to train them with this."
"Train them to do what?"
"I don't know."
He got to the pole and slid down. It passed him right through to the student levels. Going this direction, there was no security clearance at all. His tune was waiting for him in the battle room. They'd been working hard for him the past few days, trying all kinds of lame things. Formations that could explode in midair, screens, attacks without guns, disarming enemies with their feet, getting into and out of spins, which made them almost impossible to hit, but also kept them from shooting at anybody else. The most encouraging thing was the fact that Ender spent almost the entire practice time watching Bean's squad whenever he wasn't actually responding to questions from leaders and soldiers in the other tunes. Whatever they came up with, Ender would know about it and have his own ideas about when to use it. And, knowing that Ender's eyes were on them, Bean's soldiers worked all the harder. It gave Bean more stature in their eyes, that Ender really did care about what they did. Ender's good at this, Bean realized again for the 100th time. He knows how to form a group into the shape he wants it to have. He knows how to get people to work together, and he does it by the most minimal means possible. If Graf were as good at this as Ender, I wouldn't have had to act like such a bully in there today. The first thing Bean tried with the deadline was to stretch it across the battle room. It reached, with barely enough slack to allow knots to be tied at both ends. But a few minutes of experimentation showed that it would be completely ineffective as a tripwire. Most enemies would simply miss it. Those that did run into it might be disoriented or flipped around, but once it was known that it was there, it could be used like part of a grid, which meant it would work to the advantage of a creative enemy. The deadline was designed to keep a man from drifting off into space. What happens when you get to the end of the line? Bean left one end fastened to a handhold in the wall, but coiled the other end around his waist several times. The line was now shorter than the width of the battle room's cube. Bean tied a knot in the line, then launched himself toward the opposite wall.
As he sailed through the air, the deadline tautening behind him, he couldn't help thinking, I hope they were right about this wire not being capable of cutting. What a way to end. Sliced in half in the battle room. That would be an interesting mess for them to clean up. When he was a meter from the wall, the line went taut. Bean's forward progress was immediately halted at his waist. His body jackknifed, and he felt like he'd been kicked in the gut. But the most surprising thing was the way his inertia was translated from forward movement into a sideways arc that whipped him across the battle room toward where D-Tune was practicing. He hit the wall so hard he had what was left of his breath knocked out of him. "Did you see that?" Bean screamed as soon as he could breathe. His stomach hurt. He might not have been sliced in half, but he would have a vicious bruise, he knew that at once, and if he hadn't had his flash suit on, he could well believe there would have been internal injuries. But he'd be okay, and the deadline had let him change directions abruptly in midair. "Did you see it? Did you see it? Are you all right?" Ender shouted. He realized that Ender thought he was injured. Slowing down his speech, Bean called out again, "Did you see how fast I went? Did you see how I changed direction?" The whole army stopped practice to watch as Bean played more with the deadline. Tying two soldiers together got interesting results when one of them stopped, but it was hard to hold on. More effective was when Bean had Ender use his hook to pull a star out of the wall and put it into the middle of the battle room. Bean tied himself and launched from the star. When the line went taut, the edge of the star acted as a fulcrum, shortening the length of the line as he changed direction. And as the line wrapped around the star, it shortened even more upon reaching each edge. At the end, Bean was moving so fast that he blacked out for a moment upon hitting the star. But the whole of Dragon Army was stunned at what they had seen. The deadline was completely invisible, so it looked as though this little kid had launched himself and then suddenly started changing direction and speeding up in mid-flight. It was seriously disturbing to see it. "Let's do it again, and see if I can shoot while I'm doing it," said Bean.